This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Who are the spiritual giants in your life? We're going to talk about that today as we notice the power of the Word of God to help us grow. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father in heaven, it is always a blessing to see a little child grow physically to enter into a normal life with a sound body. But today, O God, move us a bit further than that, and help us to understand how important it is that we grow spiritually to the place that we can become some of the spiritual giants, not with our own effort, but by the grace of God. Speak to us then this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, last week we used as our sermon theme a lesson from the kitchen. Jesus evidently had watched his mother add leaven to the dough as she made bread for her family. From this parable, Jesus taught that as the leaven transformed the dough, so the leaven of God's Word can transform human lives. Today, my theme is a lesson from the garden. Jesus must have worked in the family garden. Perhaps one of his jobs was to pick the vegetables that they could eat that evening for dinner. Now he has grown up and was teaching the people about the kingdom of God, and he needed some examples to make his teaching come alive. And then he thought back of those days in the garden. So here is another one of his word pictures, a parable. Jesus taught, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden seeds and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. That's all recorded in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. The lesson is very clear. Jesus says that the kingdom of God has a small beginning, but as it grows, it includes people from many nations. It is the greatest on earth, the greatest kingdom. It has no end. It'll never be conquered. But this parable also gives us an opportunity to think about these questions, which are a bit more personal. Who are these spiritual giants who make up this greatest of the kingdom? And how did they become spiritual giants? These are the questions that we will ponder a little bit today. So let's talk first about how did they become spiritual giants. They're ordinary people, but God made them grow a bundle, and they became great servants in His kingdom. Well, they have lived with the Bible, friend. And you can't get away from this, that if we're going to grow spiritually, we're going to have to live daily in God's holy word, so that those truths saturate our whole life. And they are the food that gives us the opportunity to grow. That little child that we have just talked about in the opening prayer would not have grown had he not been fed. The babe in Christ will not grow unless he is fed. You can be a babe in Christ at 50, but if after your conversion you do not live in the Word of God, you are not going to grow. Well, what are some of these great truths that shaped their minds? Here's one of them. They have become really acquainted with a message from Genesis 1:27. You recall it? God created man in His own image. When the creation work was all done, then God said, "Let us make man in our own image. Let them have dominion over this creation that has come into being." They were to live in this world. They were not to abuse it, but they were to use it. It was made for them. They were not to destroy it, but they certainly could enjoy it. The beauty God wanted them to have. And in this part that I have read for you, created in the image of God, you know what that means perhaps, but let me just review it with you. That means that you, as a human being, now just stop and think of it, as a human being, are the crowning work of God's creation. You have a mind with which you can think, a will with which you can make a decision. You are responsible people, and you have a soul that is immortal. Live with that, friend, and see what it does to your whole understanding of life and your part in it. Saturate your soul with passages like these, where Paul says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." You know, when we hear people talk about the goodness of the human being and so forth and so on, we smile and we realize that there is an element of truth that many people who have never been touched by God's grace seem to do some nice things. But basically, you and I know from our own experience living with ourselves that we are sinful. We are sinful creatures in thought, word, and deed, and therefore we fall short of the glory of God. But we are justified. Now, what that means, we are made right. We are made right with God freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. When you look at that old rugged cross and realize that there Jesus paid the price for the sins of the whole world, and by receiving him as Savior and Lord, we will be the recipients of that grace and be restored into fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Stop and think of it. I'm a sinner. God still loves me. God came into this world in the person of Jesus Christ. Faith in him makes me the redeemed child of God. Or you read a portion of Scripture like Philippians 3:13, where the apostle says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. You know, you'll real often hear people giving young people especially a pep talk. You can do anything that you've set your mind to do. Well, you and I know that that is not true. I set my mind to do a lot of different things, but I simply don't have the ability to do it. I understand what they're trying to say. They're trying to say, use the talents that God has given to you. And I'm not trying to be critical of this. But what Paul had learned was, and he adds that extra dimension which makes the truth, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I can face all of life's hardships. I can go through some terrible, terrible experiences. I could not go through them alone without being a basket case, but I can go through them victoriously when Jesus Christ is within me. Or I read a passage of Scripture like this. It's from the 11th chapter of Hebrews, verse 12, one of my favorite. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. They were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. You know what that does? That teaches us that we're mortal, doesn't it? It teaches us that we're going to die. We have good years here on this earth, and God, for some reason, has given some of us a lot of years on this earth. 84 years he has given me, that's a long time. But I'm mortal. I'm going to die. And that's good for me to know. Because then I live accordingly. Or I pray to God I do. Often I don't. I think I'm going to live as forever and ever. That's not true. Going to die. Or one more. What is my role in life? And then I read Acts 1:8. And you are to be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the far parts of the earth. In other words, what God is saying and wants to get across to us, if we're going to grow up to be these spiritual giants, who is a part of this greatest kingdom that has no end whatsoever, we are going to have to realize that God has a primary task for us, and that is to be his witnesses at home and abroad, to tell the story of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, friend, that means that we go on and prepare ourselves for life. And I am having one of the most exciting times of my days here on this earth, just watching my grandchildren prepare for the life, the years, whatever they may be, while they're here on earth. One soon to graduate from the University of Wisconsin College of Medicine. Another one on his way to Harvard University to get his MBA. Another one working hard in a very exciting work down in Scottsdale, Arizona. Not quite sure where it's going to lead him to, but having a great time. The talents that God has given to him. Another one training to be a teacher. Two of them, in fact, training to be teachers. All of these great jobs, you know, one of them training to be perhaps some kind of a government worker. He's going to go to the University of Liverpool to study in that great university over there. Another one, not quite sure what she's going to be, but all kinds of talent at the University of Minnesota. You have grandchildren like that. They may have chosen other schools than what ours did. But aren't they exciting? They're going to take those great training opportunities that they have and become something great in their profession or occupation, whatever it might be. But here God breaks in the midst of all of this marvelous opportunity and training and says to them, look, first, you are to be my witness. Then you can be a physician. Then you can be an attorney. Then you can be a teacher. Then you can work for government. But first, you are my witness wherever you go. And those are the spiritual giants who can become the head of corporations worth billions of dollars, the corporation. But they themselves are first a voice piece for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you may ask, well, where do they all come from? Who are they? Well, let's take some of the great ones, shall we? The history book tells us they're great. And we go to the Apostle Paul. He was born in Tarsus. Philippians 3:4 gives us a little bit about his biography. He was well educated. He was trained under Gamaliel in the law. He was a tent maker, so he had a trade too. He was from a strict Jewish family, a Pharisee family. They were people without a doubt of some influence, maybe of moderate wealth. Yeah, can't you imagine when those parents of Paul, and we do not know their names, took him to be circumcised and to become a child of Israel, that they perhaps thought he would be a great rabbi somewhere. But to look into his face and say, this child that we hold in our arms today is going to become the greatest of Jesus Christ's apostles. Father is from their mind. At that time, they didn't even know who Jesus Christ was because he was not much older in the flesh. That's one of the great ones. Here you have a woman by the name of Monica. She had a child. She was raising him, hopefully, to become God's child. But the boy rebelled. He broke his mother's heart. And yet she continued to pray. And then one day he left. And he got in contact with a bishop. And the bishop began to outline to this man the way of salvation. The mother was still praying. And finally one day, this man received Jesus Christ and became one of the greatest of the church fathers. He's one of the greats. I have referred to St. Augustine. And then the years ticked by, and over in Eisleben, there were two ordinary people, Hans and Margarita Luther. They had a boy. They brought him to the church to be baptized. But little did they understand on that day there in Eisleben, as they looked into the face of Martin, that he would become the reformer, the father of the Reformation, and how the church in every age needs a reformer. That's what their son was. He was one of the greatest who made the kingdom the greatest, and they're still coming today. And down in a North Carolina farm one day, a fellow by the name of William Franklin Graham, who was married to Morrow Coffey, if my sources of information are correct, had a child. They did not know that that child would grow up, and for a little while had a tough time figuring out who he was spiritually, and caused people to raise their eyebrows as to whether or not he would ever amount to anything. But that man turned out to be Billy Graham, internationally known evangelist, who has preached to over 2 billion people and has been the minister for many, many presidents. As these parents looked at their children, they had no idea that into that family they had come this new plant that was going to grow up and going to be so big that, figuratively speaking, the birds could perch in its branches. But what about some of the lesser ones? I'm really interested in them, too. About 5 weeks ago, I guess it was, I was invited to preach at the congregation in Parkersburg, Iowa, that had just gone through this terrible tornado, stripping the town of one-third of its houses, killing six of the people I've referred to before. And they invited me to come and preach. But before I preached, they wanted to have a hymn sing, and they sang some of the great hymns. And one that they chose was one that we often sing on Christian Crusaders, A Mighty Fortress. How does it end? In the version that I learned it from, what though they take this life? Goods, honor, child, and wife. Their hatred still is vain. They have no lasting gain. We still possess the kingdom. We have lost everything, but we have the kingdom yet. We are not desolate. God is with us in the person of Jesus Christ. It was such a thrill to preach there. Thrill to know that you have people like one who didn't happen to be in church that Sunday. He belonged to another congregation, but had gone into the basement of his home and was huddled there in the shower stall. When a tornado came, the big bang, and he looked up, and the roof of his house was gone. And he looked down, and in his arms was his wife. His wife, Shirley. But she was dead. And this man said, I didn't hear him say it, but I read it. He said, at that time, I believe that Jesus went to be with Jesus. That's every bit the equal in faith of those that I have already mentioned. These are the great ones. You see, the point of the parable is, if you give your life over to the Lord Jesus, he will make you a great person of God. Not just a few of these giants in the faith today around. There are many of them. I think sometimes it is necessary for us to realize how many there really are. And what God has done, they are there round about us. They are the people of God. They are the ones who carry the message of Jesus Christ to this world. Thank God for the parable. Jesus Christ can make you a great person. You may not be known beyond your town, but when people touch your life and you touch theirs, you know there's something different. Here is a great man or a great woman. Amen.
If I gain the world but lost the Savior, were my life worth living for a day? Could my yearning heart with the Christ.
Father in heaven, as we look at our gardens growing, cause us to rethink what Jesus was talking about in that part of his word, that as a plant grows, so human beings can grow when Jesus Christ lives in the life and they are fed daily by that bread of life, the word of God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for those spiritual giants that we read about on the pages of history, that we still walk with while we're here on this earth, some of them not known beyond hardly their own communities, but men and women of God who have put you first, and you are the ones who are their comfort and their stay. God bless them, and fill your church with spiritual giants. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that the message and music in today's service have brightened your day and brought you comfort and peace. We pray that if our ministry meets your spiritual needs, you will consider a contribution to help pay for Radio Time. Your financial gifts enable us to buy Radio Time on 20 stations throughout the United States and internet access around the world. Many listeners depend on this program for their Sunday worship. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. This publication contains a special article written by Reverend Larson, as well as other interesting information concerning Christian Crusaders. To receive this special mailing, simply call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. A gift to help cover production and mailing costs is appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.